All right, okay. Some quick, hectic moves.
But we're out here. Yik Yak blocks school kids? That seems... like a good way to kill your entire business.
I felt like kind of a long day. I don't know. blast past all these bikes. Oh, man. It's going to be tight. I might kill this guy. All right. All right, killed that guy, but it's fine. Whatever. He'll be all right. Y'all sipping on, fool? When I see people drinking in the chat, I mean, you know, it's really the only question that's left, really, you know? I ate lunch real late, but I'm still pretty hungry. It's like a new logo for SmackDown. I guess that makes sense. All right. Prime Day, huh? Yeah, That didn't seem like a great batch of stuff. I don't know. I didn't really. There was a second there that I was looking at an 8 terabyte hard drive. That was like $230. I was like, yeah, you know, 8 terabytes is a lot of terabytes. That doesn't sound like a reliable hard drive at all, but I have no idea. I don't even know that I knew that they were making 8 terabyte hard drives at consumer price points. I thought they were up to like 5 and 6 and stuff like that.
I've got 6.5 terabytes in my PC currently, and every one of those drives is filling up. One terabyte NVMe M2 card. That's where I'm looking. That's what I'm looking at right now. That's probably how it's going to go. The motherboard I was looking at, it looks like it disables one of the SATA Express ports when you go with that when you go that route, but that seems okay. Seemed like that varied from board to board. On one board, if you went with that style of drive, it disabled like two of the SATA ports. On some it was one. Yeah, so. Try to play some video ball tonight, see if people are online playing it now that it's out, I guess. Curious to see how that thing performs online. Seems like the sort of game that would be pretty, well, whatever, I guess. Most online games are bad in bad network conditions, right? I mean, but this one, something about it seems like it would be exceptionally bad over a certain ping, so.
hurts it and ashamed of the way you go. And your mommy can't cope. Hey, little kids don't follow these dope. For you and you and you. You and you. Call up your mama now. Your bitches like pimples, I'm popping now. Don't see the wonder and the joy life brings.
Thank you. Kevin Rome, I think he won by less called a neck. I think it was more like a nose.
Yeah, it was a real close nose, as a matter of fact. And
real close nose.
Probably within 1/200 of a second. Gary Gross, I'm going to ask you a question here. I know that Norm Braybrook, and I'm going to tell a little story about Norm here in a moment, but he was an outrider at one time. Did you ever have aspirations of being an outrider or a chuck wagon driver before you got into the broadcast part of it?
As a chuck wagon driver, but then when you watch what these guys do and the expense it takes just to get your foot in the water in the game, that was a deterrent. So I figured if I get up and I'm this guy behind the mic and get a guaranteed paycheck, I'll be quite happy with that.
Good lad, good lad. You made the smart decision. Stay up here where it's safe and warm and dry.
By selling it,
you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-8...
...near you, call 800-250-2776.
If baseball does nothing, they'll probably stay flat for another 10 years. But 20 years from now, they'll be moving into a secondary position in American life, doomed to irrelevance like Tower Records or Blockbuster Video, end quote. Wow. So that makes it seem like it's going to be on life support in a couple decades. That I don't buy. And I, again, want to remind you that Rob Manfred is not Bud Selig. I think Manfred's going to do an excellent job for the game. Brad in Albuquerque next, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Hi, Brad.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm well, Brad. How are you?
Doing pretty good. You know, one thing when I watch games is baseball games, I get really annoyed when you have these at-bats where these guys foul off like 10 or 12 two-strike pitches, and it just takes forever. And I was just thinking, put a limit on the two-strike foul-offs. You know, that would, if they can't square up a strike by then, then that'll add intrigue to it. You'll put them up against it. They're going to have to put it in play. Because a lot of these...
Yeah, but I think that's too drastic a change. I think we're looking... I changed some things tonight, clearly. I could tell the caller, generally speaking, has many a great idea. But we don't want to change it to the point where we're lessening the amount of innings, when we're doing drastic things like now three balls get to the first base instead of four. You can't strike somebody out even though they're fighting off pitches. That's kind of your goal as a batter, is to stay in that particular at-bat. What bothers me is the time between pitches, Brad. See, that's where you and I differ. That's action. What bothers me is the time between pitches where the pitcher has to, you know, grab himself, go get the rosin bag.
If you're looking at balls being fouled off over and over again,
and now
saying,
the
that's action,
batter has
then,
to step out because he wasn't thrilled with the pitcher stepping
off.
Then
there's no fucking hope.
That's the sort of thing we need to eliminate. And then now the manager after the at-bat wants to get a lefty in to get the third out. So after throwing for 20 minutes in the bullpen, he needs to throw another 10, 15 pitches, at least it seems like it, once he gets out to the mound. That's non-action. That's not necessary.
That's true, but, you know, when you have these long at-bats like that, you have to suffer through the pitcher getting the sign, and sometimes the guy is stepping out of the batter's box, and sometimes stepping off the rubber. You know, it's just a really long process. If you had a limit to that, I think it would really speed things up.
Appreciate the call.
Not going to engage with you, because
I don't know if I would agree with that change.
Yeah, well, fucking awesome.
Dave's in Seattle, Mad Dog Sports.
We got to change baseball, Dave. But those don't change it.
How are you, buddy?
This guy's a dumbass.
Can you hear me? Loud and clear. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. They're listening to all these and all these totally suggestions. I mean, baseball is not dying. It's killing itself. It's not catching up with the times. I mean, what every other major sport has done, they've adapted to society's need for offense. They want the game to never be out of reach, and that's passing. Because lately, I mean, back in the day, a 10 or 15-point basketball lead meant the game was over. Now, you can be up 30, and the game's not over. Same thing with football. The spread offenses and the way they're playing defense out of the game, and these fast defenses that can score themselves, the game's never over. You know what I mean? But baseball, the only game without a clock, is over 5-0. You know what I mean? And then when they're not facing a clock. And that's why you have to legislate offense back in the game, especially after the steroid era. After the steroid era, the offense...
Yeah, I don't like the fact that the bullpen guys are dominating the way they are. You know, the star of the game typically is your 7th or 8th inning bullpen arm, and most of America doesn't even know who he is.
Well, one change...
Maybe you eliminate the shift. I don't know. There's only so much you could do. Are you going to lower the mound again? I don't think you're doing that.
No. You get rid of the pitcher hitting. Get DH mandatory in both leagues.
No, I don't like that. I hate the DH. You're not going to win me with that.
Pitchers are such high-money players. Now, you want them to get hurt on the base path? No. I would modify the shift.
How often, though, let's be honest, how often do these guys get hurt in the base pass?
I understand that, but again, they're rally killers, though. You know what I mean? I mean, you can have a rally going, two-out rally. Your pitcher comes up, the rally's over.
I know. Here I am trying to get more offense in without extending the time of the game, but I'm not for the extra DH. I got to be fair.
Anyone who likes the DH, though, they hate when their team's down 3 runs and they've got 2 guys on base. Don't y'all switch? They can pin.
Well, of course, but we also love it when you're winning and you get to face the pitcher, too. I just think it takes too much strategy out of the game, putting the DH in. Now the American League manager really does nothing until his little beeper goes off. Uh-oh, your pitcher is approaching 100 pitches. God forbid, get somebody up. Like Charlie Manuel, I remember when he went from the Indians to the Phillies and ended up winning a World Series. And as a bright guy, he just sometimes struggles to speak all that properly, so it makes it seem like he's not. But in reality, he really did, and he admitted it, struggled with the double switch initially coming to the National League. And that's part of the strategy involved.
Well, I understand, but you're making an old man sport. I'm going the way of the Republican Party, dude. If it doesn't, that's who is going to die. You know what I mean? Also, another change I would make sure that any relief pitcher you bring in for sake of time and strategy has to face at least 3 batters. That's another.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one, Dave. I like that one. Because it takes forever. I mean, it can take 15 minutes, the process of taking your pitcher out, getting your lefty specialist in, and then getting them out again. And in the meantime, you've had like 3 pitches. That I would be for. Or at least 2. Rick in L.A., Mad Dog Sports Radio. Rick.
Hi, Jim Thomas. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Rick. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking the call. Listen, a couple points. First, baseball is a local sport. You hit on that. The transition and the new TV deals has made that. It's organic. That's not a demotion for baseball. And I don't think it starts with the changes of rules. But I think what people really need to consider, right, and you hit on this point before, there was a weird era with Selig. I think what we need to do and what baseball needs to come do is marketing of players. A couple of your calls have talked about it, about social media, and you just talked about with the trend of global sports. But you think about 20, 30 years ago, with your average age of 50-plus as a baseball fan, think of who that player was and what social media was 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. What that child grew up with in America. Social media was trading baseball cards. That's why you knew the lineup of every team. And you knew the team and the lineup of not your team, just your team, but everyone in your
team. Everything.
Right?
That's huge. What hand they hit. What exactly they did in their particular stance, everything, yeah.
Absolutely, right, and it was the stat line. But it was still a local sport then. when your team got up, right? And I think those are the things that are missing. It's a transition, and I think Selig didn't necessarily gracefully transition to that social media transition. It was baseball cards. That was social media in 1975.
Yeah, I get what you're trying to say, yeah. Selig did not do a great job. I know Dog always sticks up for him, and Dog knows more about baseball than anybody else on the face of the earth. He likes Bud. But Bud never adapted, and that's the issue. I think Rob Manfred, though, is going to be the opposite. I think he is going to listen. I think he understands the problem they have with the younger demographic. I think he's going to try to push for these initiatives to get guys to play at a young age. And I think he'll start to really market the superstars as well. I don't think you'll see many more lists. They better not, where your best player in the league is in the 70s. As far as famous.
I agree. Bud was just protecting what he had. He had to what was going on in the end. That's a different topic, right? He knew what was going on.
Well, he turned his head when, after the ugly, ugly lockout, the strike, they had the, you know, tremendously compelling home run race between McGuire and Sosa that we later found out was fraudulent.
There you go. Find it out after. We knew before. But that's different. Last point, though, really quick, because before you were talking about maybe some changes that would make it more interesting. The game is interesting to the fans. We can do things on the margins to speed it up, etc. I hate the DH, right? It's got to be the same, but those are different things, right? But my point, though, is one of your callers talked about, let's get an extra run for 450 feet homers. And the corollary there was the basketball and the three-point.
Yeah, I actually don't buy that. I know it'll never happen, but I actually like that.
No, I'm not pitching it. Here's what I'm saying, and here's the difference if there's a corollary to basketball. It's not the same as moving it back in 1980 to the three-point line, because there was also a one-point shot in basketball always. It's a three-point front shot, right? It's called a run in baseball, not a point. And so you're not at a 451 or 325 feet or 449. That's not going to count. That extra yard or foot is going to count for an extra run. No, that's not how it works. It's moving people around the bases and scoring a run. A home run does that in one swing and cannot be more valued. It's different. It's not the same corollary.
I understand that, John. I get what you're trying. I mean, Rick, I apologize. I get that. That said, I still want to be against it. I think that'd be pretty cool. I really do. I think young kids would love that. And Giancarlo Stanton would be a god. He'd be in the top 7 of that fame list. I can promise you that. If he's hitting 10, 450 plus home runs a year, therefore he's getting that extra run.
Fucking lunatic.
Not gonna happen. But.
Which adds not some flaming rings right there, to the field.
That's not gonna happen. There, you so get there's really points. No reason to concentrate on it further, but John in St. Pete, you're up. Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Tommy, how are you?
John, I'm well, thank you.
You know, I tell you, the topic is very good. You're talking about the TV ratings and the talking. Like, my son is 14. We live in St. Petersburg now. I grew up in Queens, you know, and we like to go over to the games. And just the other day, you know, the Rays.
Everyone calling in sounds like a baseball fan.
This has never been a major league town. I don't care what you say about it. So my son was sitting there, we got a couple of tickets, and, you know, he said, well, you know, my wife goes, well, if we don't support the team, you know, they might go somewhere. And he's 14, Tommy, and he goes, you know, Mom, let him know. We're not a big league town. I'd rather go to a minor league game. This is a 14-year-old who really has thrown his head up about Major League Baseball, and I don't know why. I was like, no. He goes, Dad, you go to the game, there's 12,000 people, unless the Yankees come in, there's 22. But before I moved down here, when I used to visit, I always said, this should never have been a Major League town, but St. Petersburg had Major League Baseball over the barrel when they told them to build a stadium, and they will come, and they never did. But now you go to the ratings.
And the stadium's a dump, right? That's the other problem.
Well, you know, Tommy, it's not a bad place to see a game. It's actually fun. I would tell you.
Really? That. See, that's not what I've heard. Okay.
Well, no. It's a fun place. It's a good atmosphere outside. Now, is it old? Yeah, it was old when they built it, because they built it, 25 years ago. But you find one person who will not have a good time at that game, and I really believe they're lying. Are the sidelines great? Is it Yankee Stadium, Tommy? No. But let me tell you something. If you can have a good time in that stadium, you really can.
And all right, fair enough. Right. I've heard bad things, but not everybody has bad things to say about it. I can understand that. Go ahead.
Hey, wait a second. Remember the war zone that Yankee Stadium was back in the 70s when Steinbrenner had a big NYPD to come in when people were getting kidnapped and stuff?
Well, I've heard, yeah. They had issues with the surrounding neighborhood.
I grew up. I'm 55. I remember when that family from Connecticut was kidnapped. So, jeez. You know, you can call anything you want, but now we're going to the TV ratings. People watch a lot of baseball down here. The ratings for the Rays, and that's why the TV contract is unbelievable, and that's why they make a lot of money. Is it local? Yeah. But if the Rays, I really believe if they, sooner or later they leave, I don't want to pay for a $500 million stadium.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about that. I don't think taxpayers should have to pay for the stadiums. I think the owners should have to build it on their own. I don't know if there are many other businesses in America that get that sort of money from the local towns. I mean, there are some that get some. I mean, this is a conversation that could lead us in other directions, quite obviously.
Yes.
In fact,
you're right.
Ben, what's his name? Not Ben Simmons. Bill Simmons. Well, I was flipping through the channels, and HBO had that Every Given Wednesday, I think it's called. Is it Every Given Wednesday or Any Given Wednesday?
Yeah,
they had Cuban on, and they also had Malcolm Gladwell on, and they had a very, very interesting conversation. I give Malcolm Gladwell all the credit in the world because he was saying everything I always say about these owners. They should be giving money for stadiums and everything else. And Cuban had some pretty good responses. I like Mark Cuban. I give him credit. But
yeah.
I'm with you. I don't think any town, and also personal seat licenses should be banned. They shouldn't be allowed. There's so many things I would do if I were king of the world. But then again, everybody would do 1,000 things if they were king of the world.
Well, you want to look at it. You go to the San Francisco Giants. They gave that guy that land. He built it, and he's been cashing the checks ever since. What's his name? Sternberg, who owns the Rays. I met him down here. He's a real personal guy. He's from Tennessee. He hears my voice. He goes, hey, what part of New York? And he's a nice guy. But him and his partners could build the stadium and never, never probably touch their own principles of their money. But these guys have money. They never lose money on their baseball contract. They might say, oh, we lost $12 million. Well, you made $77 million 1 year. You made $65 this year. So you didn't really lose any money. Just make as money as the other time. But Tommy, if they build a stadium here, I hope it doesn't come out of our pockets, because they'll never fill it on a regular basis.
This whole conversation is insane.
He has some interesting things to say about the stadium, though. I didn't think it was that bad, huh? Triple A Mad Dog 6. I wanted to get into D'Angelo Russell a little bit here. I know we have a lot of guys who want to talk about baseball and what could change. Look, you guys are the stars, really. Typically, I'll dictate what we discuss. But, you know, look, we found out early in this show that you guys were into this baseball topic. So we figured, all right, why not? You know, why force feed a topic when there's really not anything worth force feeding? It is July and August, which is considered to be the dead time, quite frankly, in sports. But I find it interesting that the Lakers are trying to, quote, rein in, end quote, D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell apparently has big-time maturity issues. Now, I think a lot of us would at that age, with all fame being thrown onto us, but we saw it with the Nick Young thing. Now, Nick Young has nobody to blame but himself. Nick Young's a little bit of a moron, if we're honest, right? Swaggy P, I mean, goodness sakes. But you can't be taping or recording a teammate. But it goes far beyond that. The other night in the Summer League, now, the adrenaline was going. They had 17,000 people in the building. He hits the game-winning three. After the game, he immediately curses. Now, I'm willing to give him a bit of a pass because, again, you're throwing a microphone into this guy's face seconds after he won a game. It's an emotional moment. But you know what's even more concerning? Prior to that bucket, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. D'Angelo Russell had hit another shot, turned around, wanted to remind everybody who had scored, was showboating, and his man went right on down to the floor. T.J. McConnell laid it in with 1.2 seconds left, and it looked like the Lakers were going to win. That's the maturity problem the Lakers want to talk about. Even more so than the cursing at the game. Because he was showboating, he almost cost the game. He ended up throwing up a three, and the prayer was answered, so he was exonerated, if you will. But they know they've got to get this kid to start thinking more, to be more responsible, to be more mature. They even have an assistant coach there who's pretty much been told, you're terrain in D'Angelo Russell. And I understand it. I still think Russell's going to be a heck of a player. I know he's not the greatest athlete in the world. He's never going to be a great defender at the point of attack. That's worrisome to an extent. D'Angelo could shoot the ball, though. And in this day and age, he's perfect for this NBA. You know what team he'd be good on? It really feels like the Lakers and Sixers should come together and swap Okafor and Russell. Because Simmons is really a point guard. Now you could play Russell off the ball. It would work all very, right. very well.
I can't.
I'm Tom Bird.
It's a man that should have been a free agent this year.
Been a great debate over the last couple of years. So,
I was into the idea of that fucking lunatic taking calls about baseball rule changes.
I mentioned the city. Is that what you're saying? Ben Simmons finishing with 8 points, 8 rebounds. You're going to get him at a bargain basement price, considering his ADP.
The community, what kind of service he provides.
Beyond, came on as a pinch runner.
Oh, the All-Star game.
In the third for David Ortiz and scored. He's also popped out foul. Starting to make this point earlier. If you ask David Ortiz who he thinks the Red Sox should sign as their next DH, he thinks it should be this guy. Second and third, two down. Melanson fires. And that one inside. 4-2 AL on top of the NL, the 87th MLB All-Star game. Lancet out of a stretch. And delivers. Now that's in the dirt. So now the count is 2-0. What about the Pirates?
And say, if that didn't happen, if I didn't.
I don't think this is a 120-point team, just because.
By picking your favorite instructor in our on-demand session.
Another way you look at it is, do you want to bring in somebody from the outside that hasn't been involved in the company? Or do you want to bring somebody in that has been involved in the company? Like, Ric Flair has been involved. Like, Mick Foley has been involved. And Edge has been involved. Like, these are guys that you see regularly.
Edge is on the talent field as well. We know that. For
so, is it going to be somebody that we have not seen in years? Or is it somebody that we're seeing almost on a week-to-week basis?
Very interesting, too. And what a weird dynamic it would be if Triple H is working. And he was referenced last night, by the way. Stephanie did reference that, you know, Shane, I think, said, like, the only game in town, some catchphrase like that. And Steph said, there's only one game. That's my husband. Well, it would be weird if her husband is working for her. I think that would be a weird dynamic, but an interesting one. And maybe that, you know, dissolves into something. And you see Triple H is more of a babyface character, which probably makes more sense. In that regard, I think another name needs to be brought up. Because if Triple H is the grandpappy of NXT, then big daddy on campus right now is William Regal. William Regal, a former GM, would be a great GM. I would love to see him, especially with that demonic music coming out arm-in-arm with Stephanie. Yep. He would be a great Monday Night Raw GM.
I agree, too. This is why this is fascinating, Doug. And the reason why it's fascinating is because I really think come Monday, before that draft, when they announce these GMs, you're going to know the identity to these shows.
Absolutely.
You know, like if you have a William Regal as a GM, you're going to be excited because you know what that show is going to be like. If you have a Ric Flair, you know what that show is going to be. I really think that the GM that they choose is really going to be the face of that show.
Can't wait to crank up the phones in just a matter of minutes. 844-SXM-RUSH. 844-796-7874. Your calls coming up on Twitter at Busted Open Radio. Your one-stop shop for Dave, for Doug, for Mary, for Kyle. BustedOpenNation.com.
Rediscover the revolutionary sound of 90s alternative grunge and crazy with Madison Mornings.
Wake your butt up!
And Sluggo in the Afternoon.
And I am dressed like that kid from the Jungle Book.
Can't stop the spirit when they need you.
Oh, my loincloth has slipped.
.com era rock that never stops. Carefully.
I think those guys are crazy about this whole, like, commissioner GM thing. I think that's
on the internet and Sirius XM.
God, if they got Ric Flair to be in an on-camera fucking authority role, that would be the fucking worst. I like Ric Flair just fine, but the last handful of times they've had him talking to a microphone on one of these shows, it has just been fucking... It's been sad. It's made me sad. I don't want to be sad when I think about Ric Flair. But that's where it's at.
Plus live event stops in Bridgeport, Connecticut, New York's Madison Square Garden, Twins Falls, New York, and Augusta, Maine. It's your chance to see John Cena, World Heavyweight Champion Dean Ambrose, Women's Champion Charlotte, and more. Check out WWE.com/events for tour and ticket information. Lineup subject to change.
NFL fans, go to NFLShop.com today.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole idea of having like two authority figures per show seems totally unnecessary. I don't get why they feel the need to fucking do that. Unless they want to just create conflict at the top of each show by having, but you know, why would the one person in charge of the show pick someone who's it doesn't make any logical sense.
We know life happens.
I don't know. Fucking wrestling, right? I saw that New Day Wyatt family thing. I don't understand how that got onto television. I mean, I understand, like, maybe some of the thought process of, like, oh, we could do that. Like, looking at the TNA stuff. I think that's sad. I think it's sad for WWE to be in this position where they look like they're taking something from this smaller, lesser organization. And then doing it in this way that, like, seems meaningless. It's like they didn't understand any part of why that other thing was interesting. Like, it just felt like a fucking really bad trailer for a WWE, like a sequel to fucking some Kane horror movie. It didn't make sense in the context of being a part of that television show. It just... It just seemed like nonsense. Like, why was that thing shot all shaky like a fucking horror movie? In what world does that make any logical sense at all? Just dumb ideas across the board on that thing. I really don't. It's a real It's got to be a real low point.
How about you want to guess? This is the first music you hear a week from today. Shane O'Mac comes out. His show, big draft. A lot going to happen over the next week and change. You could throw away Battleground. You could forget about SmackDown coming up this Thursday. It's basically moot, irrelevant. But Monday, Tuesday, next week, a couple of big days. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday going forward, those are your three big days to get the new Busted Open here on Rush. 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Time stays the same. Friday goes away. Wednesday comes aboard. We react to live pro wrestling the best we can in our strive for five. 844-SXM-RUSH. Let's crack open those phones. Joe in Pittsburgh up first here on Busted Open. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? You guys are stealing a lot of my thunder here.
Sorry.
I'm bringing up Daniel Bryan and William Regal. I thought that it would either be Triple H or William Regal on Raw. Just the dynamic between Triple H and Stephanie would be very interesting. But William Regal is quite entertaining, and he can get in the ring almost those. But Daniel Bryan, I think, would be great to usher in that new era because he's the guy who kind of started that new era after CM Punk really took it forward. So I think he would be the guy that would be accepted probably the best. And one more comment, I'll take everything off the air. Brock Lesnar is a beast. He came back, he showed that when he's fully healthy, he can almost do anything. He is just one of the most elite athletes we're ever going to see. He's also an A-hole, but he's an elite athlete nonetheless.
You know, it's a great call by Joe.
How true by Joe.
Yeah, I agree with everything Joe said. And Joe's remark about Daniel Bryan's a good one. He kind of ushered in this new era. So if they're going to kind of highlight that on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan would be the perfect GM.
Absolutely.
No.
You lose a little bit with Bryan because he can't get in the ring due to his concussion history. The other thing about Daniel Bryan, and I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade, and I would love to see him every week on my TV for sure. But Daniel Bryan is not great on the mic.
Exactly.
The
okay, yes.
Remember he guest
sensible
or guest GM, whatever it was, a Monday Night Raw? It might have been just before his retirement, I think. Maybe it was after his retirement. No, it was before his retirement. He was terrible. I mean, maybe it was just a bad night and it was off. But he's not a guy that can really string together things and be super hype on the mic. That's just not his style. We love Daniel Bryan because he didn't even need to say a word, and we were totally bought in. Now he needs to say words because that's his only responsibility. I'm just wondering if he would be up to the task.
I agree with you because I do remember that show, and he wasn't very good. That being said, on the network, on this Cruiserweight Classic, and they had their bracket show, what he does bring, maybe he doesn't bring a lot of personality, so to speak, Doug, but he brings, like, credibility in a completely different way than somebody like a Brock Lesnar. But he brings credibility, and he just shows a side of pro wrestling that you don't normally see on Monday Night Raw.
I think that's an interesting take by you, but I would also say the analyst chair on a commentary team is wholly different. Or even the analyst chair on a breakdown bracket show is a completely different story than, you know, Daniel Bryan being the GM for SmackDown or Monday Night Raw. I think it's totally
How ridiculous is it that on some fucking sports channel that usually deals in mixed martial arts, you got two guys debating fucking soap opera storylines? Wrestling's fucking weird, man. All right. I'm home. I'm going to go. Everybody have a good night. I'll see you later.